After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast.
So real quick, just to kind of circumvent the topic here, do you guys want to talk about anything or do we want to talk about...
No, do the back to school shit.
Okay.
We can hit it, memories. We can quit it, and
we are... Go ahead.
Hit it and quit it.
I'm sorry. I feel like I'm always interrupting, but I am definitely an attention whore, so I will do better. Good. I will do better.
Good.
So, as I said before, welcome like to the podcast. God damn it!
1996, and it shows us why it's the most wonderful time of the year for parents. Check it out.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's that time of year again.
They're going back! It's back to school time at Staples! Over 7,000 supplies at guaranteed low prices.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Staples. That was easy.
We are After School Special Podcast. Latchkey Kids, welcome. Don's going to put his fingers on the chalkboard. You know, the smell of... Well, actually, they don't have that anymore. They don't have erasers, like chalk erasers or whatnot.
Dry eraser boards now.
Yeah. So we are talking back to school because guess what? We are back to school. Some of you, hopefully not children listening to this, and you're a good parent, and you're making sure that
they shouldn't be. They shouldn't be.
As a parent, you're probably excited because your kids are going back to school. For me, it just means more stress because it's actually easier when they're out of school. And I do like having them around a little bit more. But we are talking back to school memories with After School Special Podcast. My whole, elementary into middle school was really good. And then high school kind of went wild. But can you guys kind of tell us a little bit about, let the Latchkey kids know, about your guys' first foray into what we call school?
You know what? I will. So I can talk about my memories of going back to school because my mom was so good at remembering that stuff that she let me know. So it kind of helped me to like, oh, yeah, I do remember that. So my first time going to school, I went to a Lutheran school.
Well, what school?
Lutheran.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I went to that. That's back in the late 80s when I was going to a Lutheran school. I remember going there and my mom said that they were crying because I just walked off. They were like thinking I was going to cry because they were leaving, but I was like, bye. I just went in there. So, you know, this is back when kids had those little tote bags. They didn't have backpacks. They had a little tote bag. They would put your little papers and stuff in for the school. So I remember at this school, going back to school, at a young age, something felt different. And my mom said she felt it because of how they were treating kids of color at this school. And it was called Peace Lutheran. And it was on the east side of Detroit. And there was something odd. And my mom let me know later on, because when I moved on, because I was there all the way till first grade. First grade, I got to Peace Lutheran across the street there, elementary school. So I had a horrible experience at that school because the teachers did not know how to handle hyperactive kids who had knowledge of things so far. Because during that time, when we were growing up, we had something known as Sesame Street. It's still here, but Sesame Street was made for inner city kids to learn and get the education that was needed. That was the whole reason why the Sesame Street workshop was created, to help inner city kids learn.
But now it's gentrified and has a Starbucks on a corner.
Yeah. So so when I went to school, I knew all the stuff I need. I knew all my ABCs, 1, 2, 3s. You know, you had people and Gordon and Bob and Big Bird teaching you all this stuff. So I had a teacher who was studying her master's who almost bitch slapped me because I was trying to get her attention because I'm like, hey, I'm done with the assignment. I'm done with the assignment. I kept tagging her. And she almost backhanded me. Ooh. So that was the crazy shit that happened. And this was a white teacher, breeder. I'll never forget him. So they went to the director, who was a nun, It's like, I think we want to put him on Ritalin. And that's when my mom was like, you can put yourself on Ritalin. We're out of here. Like, she was pretty furious about that.
Yeah.
And it was other black students there that they were trying to do that to. They wanted to feed us Ritalin to calm us down rather than, you know, handle the situation properly. So that was my experience there.
John, now, knowing you for as long as I know you, I can't even imagine you being a hyper kid, like, at all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because she couldn't handle the class. She just couldn't, because all the kids were running around and they just could not handle the direction of different kids' personality. I think teachers now have a better grasp, but they don't get paid as much.
It is it is a completely different game as to when we were growing up.
Yeah.
There are more rules, regulations. They're more in tune with the whole psychology of it, which is great. But then at the same time, I don't think they challenge them enough.
No, they don't. And when you have students who are a little bit advanced, you have to try and get them something more challenging.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to have problems where they're bored or they're acting out. I remember one time they were like, don't throw snowballs in our playground. They're like, don't throw snowballs. You know we're going to throw snowballs. So I threw one and it had a stone in it. And I ended up hitting this boy right in the eye, this boy Philip. I hit him in the eye. I gave him a black eye. That's when the school was like, you need to control your kid or we're going to suggest that you put him on Ritalin and stuff like that. And my mom was like, you guys don't have a handle on students here. You just don't. And we ended up leaving. And I went to another, how can I put this? I went to a school waiting for another school to open. So I was only there temporarily. It was called Aisha Shule. It was like a Pan-African school. And that was on the west side of Detroit, I think. And I got in trouble there because this boy was pulling this girl's hair and I punched the boy in the face.
Oh, good for you.
And and my dad was like, he was just doing what he's supposed to do. You know, he saw a girl in distress and that's what he did.
That's what he was
taught. Yeah. So it happened. So I got out of that school. I ended up going to Marcus Garvey Academy on Lily Bridge in Kirchville, which is on the east side of Detroit. Now, remember the last time we spoke about summer school or about summer, I don't know if you guys were in Detroit public school. Don, you probably were.
Yeah, I was up until high school.
But David L. Sneed was the superintendent. And schools at that time were not doing that well because teachers were going on strike. Substitutes were not up to par. And it was just, you know, it's not like how it is now. But back then, they just didn't have a handle on it. And it reflected in how they worked. And it really did affect your school experience because some teachers were hard asses. Others were just kind. And then you had some teachers that just didn't care. Like, they were just floating you through. Like, I feel, and I'm going to be upfront, my high school experience, I don't even think we got the proper education in high school, if I'm being honest. I think we got just enough to get the fuck out. That's my honest opinion. I 100%
feel that way. But yeah. I also will admit I didn't apply myself because I don't think school is for me.
Yeah.
Because elementary school, I felt school was for me. Middle school, I felt it was for me because of the camaraderie with my friends.
Yeah.
And it was fun learning because I had friends and we all came from the same place. But when I got to high school, I'll elaborate a little later on, but it was just a different thing going to a Catholic school. And it was just, you know.
And that's what it was for me. I went to a Jesuit high school.
Mm-hmm.
All boys.
Yeah.
So it was nothing but fighting and sports. That was it. You're trying to figure out where you belong, you know, and that was tough. You know, high school is your defining years. For me, I felt like it shouldn't be any single sex schools because you lose those social cues that you would get learning around females. At least that's what I think. You know, like I understand the premise behind them, but there should be a little bit more co-ed schools. I think co-ed high schools are better than single sex because you lose those social cues. You really do. They were like, oh, well, girls are a distraction. Well, fighting is a distraction. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, I mean, it's just one of those things. My back to school for college was fun because I was with you guys around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I started to feel like I didn't feel like the academics was for me, but being there is what was for me. You know, like just being around the people I was around. That's what I felt.
Jan, your memories, bruh. Or I could go next. It's up to you.
Fuck that. I'm going so I can stop talking as soon as possible. My memories are a little unique than most of you guys because I was brought up in a single parent household. That's not unique, but in my household, my mom was my teacher until about kindergarten. So pretty much every day was kind of like going to school until I had to go to an elementary school. And that was my first time being apart from my mom, who was always my teacher at some point. So I can remember elementary school being a little frightening because I wasn't under mom's tits anymore. I'm not putting that in the show.
No, you can't do that.
So learning teachers' cadences and what I can get away with, because I knew what I can get away with my mom. I live with her. I'm like, I was just thinking of ways really to get out of work. I didn't want to be in school. I hated school until the third grade. And one of my teachers' name was Mrs. Domstein. And she took a liking to me, and not in that way, not in a creepy way, but like she saw.
No one was saying that.
Well, I would have been thinking it, but she saw potential in me. And as I'm saying this, and whoever's listening, our latchkey kids, our broken homies, it really just takes one person to really look at you and see your potential to light that internal flame. And that's what happened. Up until third grade, I was kind of a problem child. I was kind of acting out, kind of like John, but not as hyper. I was more like, what can I get away with today? This is going to be fun. And I wasn't doing work, but she took a hold of me. She saw the goodness in me. And you might think, well, didn't your teacher mom do that when you would go back home? But she's working full time. Her focus isn't on me anymore. And that's the ironic thing about my life. As I go up and down grade wise, getting good grades sometimes, bad grades a lot of times, from elementary to high school, it wasn't because my mom didn't want to focus on me, but it was like, I'm a teacher. I have lesson plans. I have to focus on 100 kids a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ironically, she was a fantastic teacher. Most of her students loved her. And the ones that didn't, they come back to her later in life and say, hey, you made a difference to me. Just like I'm saying about my teacher in elementary school. And it was other teachers too. But no time to focus on me as a latchkey kid until I had somebody look at me differently. Like, no, this guy, this little boy has potential. So to answer this question, how was the first day of school? It sucked ass because summer was so fucking, I never use this term, but it was rad, dude. You like, it went on forever. You do what you want. And then 2 weeks before fucking school starts, inevitably, there's always those dumbass commercials. Hey guys, going back to school. I'm like, oh my God, because you know why that used to piss me off? I'm sure I'm not the only one, latchkey kids. Parents weren't even thinking about school, really. They're busy working or doing other shit, and I'm sure you guys can think about that, but it wasn't until those fucking commercials came on where my mom would see that. I'm like, oh, that's right. I gotta get you school supplies, and I gotta get you school shoes and clothes, which, man, back then, I really didn't care about no clothes. I don't
Kmart
care.
Blue Light Special.
Oh, buddy. My God.
Those were the commercials.
Oh, those kids and those commercials, those kids with their heads slumped down and they're getting dragged to the. I give them credit. Those commercials were genius. However, I would try later in life, every time that commercial came on, turn off the TV as fast as I could because I knew right around the corner is not only school shopping, but the inevitable, you're going to have to start going to sleep early.
Yes, buddy.
I hated that. It's still sun out, and I got to go to bed at 8:30, and I can hear kids just playing outside my window. I'm like, oh my goodness, I hate school because it's making me lose my freedom. I had a concept of freedom as a kid, and I think all kids do for the most part. You don't know what you don't know. So middle school, about the same deal, until I started forming friendships that ran deeper than just cartoons and hobbies and stuff. It's like, oh man, you know, we come from the same place. We're starting to see each other, not as just kids, but as we're growing up. And high school sucked ass because I went from public schools to Catholic school. But to wrap it all up, you know, school to me was always, at least the first day, was always a shitty fucking experience. The anxiety, like you know, I've come to notice as an adult, and I must have been in denial, that I had tons of anxiety and I didn't know there wasn't a term for that.
Yeah.
When I was a kid.
Yeah, right.
It was just like, don't be a bitch. Or like, or you know, don't be nervous. But it wasn't like, no, this is a diagnosable thing and you can be treated for that. But all I knew was tough it out. Pretend that you're not scared. And in doing so, you look deeper inside and you try to shell off the world. At least I did. And I lost, I lost a lot of experiences doing that. And I hope whoever's listening, whoever's a parent, can see that in their kid and try to help them cope with that and just not say, oh, well, when I was a kid, it was this way. Like, no, well, you're not a kid anymore. And I hope you realize if you were a kid that you would hope that an adult would see that and try to get you through it. Because if I had a Mrs. Domstein in high school, maybe I wouldn't have had to go through the back door to go to college. Because my college experience was I got accepted to college and, you know, I'm a freshman. It was like, yo, you have some terrible grades, but you're not good enough to like get in the regular way. I had to basically come into Wayne State on probation. I had to pass classes in order to qualify to go to like the main campus. That was my journey. Even though I was technically a Wayne State student.
Jesus, I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If it wasn't for a counselor my last year, a student counselor my last year, taking a liking to me, I don't know what I would have done. I didn't apply anywhere. My grades were terrible. I mean, I tried to do better in my senior year, but as we all know now, senior don't mean shit in high school. It's really from freshman year of high school to about maybe the first semester of senior year of high school. But
yeah,
if you didn't do well,
senioritis as soon as summer hits. Yeah.
Well, see, I was the opposite. Everybody else was locked in. Aaron, you might have been locked in. I don't know about you, John. You might have been locked in as soon as you hit senior year. I was not locked in. So my slow ass was like, well, okay, this is going to be the year where I try to make up like a 2.0 average. I'm going to try to make that up. But yeah, I came in the back way. That's what she said. But man, school has always been anxiety, just riddled with anxiety. But
I'm right with you, dude. I graduated.
Keeping up with supplies in your backpack, always losing shit, unorganized, people taking notes. And you just look around and see people taking notes and you're not doing that. And you're like, oh, am I supposed to be taking notes? Fucking teachers talking too fast. I'm like, God damn it.
I'm going to tell you, I graduated co-valedictorian with co-salutatorian with in high school. Yeah, because our grades were to the T. We both had the same point. So graduated co-salutatorian. Our valedictorian was, huh?
This guy's a nerd.
I didn't know you were a nerd. Dude,
that's awesome. I'm that not going to fucking give you shit.
My valedictorian was this guy, everybody loved him. His name was Mike. He's a police officer in Detroit now, or I think he's a detective now. But
Big Mike.
I knew I wasn't going to make it because we all went to Wayne State, and he flunked out, and I was like, I'm fucked.
College is a different beast, especially the college we went to, because like you guys know, they just let you float. They don't give a damn if you – they just want the money.
College is a business, dude.
It's a business.
I think it had more to do with the program that we were in. The people that we had within that program had no fucking clue what to say. Because our program was still, in a sense, it wasn't new, but it was what they were trying to do with it was different.
And they were already established. Like, the people in the program, they already knew what they were doing. They were just glorified babysitters, if I'm speaking freely.
But as far as school goes, back to fucking school, latchkey kids, I'm sure we aren't the only ones that had that just built-in anxiety. Now, elementary school, I was glad to come back and see my friends. But right around middle school, high school, when I came back and I'm still the same height and everybody's like 6 inches, 5 inches taller. And I'm like, oh, shit, when am I going to get taller? That sucked, too. Yeah. People got mustaches and I didn't get a mustache and beard until I was, what, 20, 21, 22? I mean, it took a long fucking time. But Aaron, what about you? What about your experience?
Well, I fucking came out with a beard, goddamn.
I believe it.
Long as my dick, which was not long at the time.
Jesus.
Let's see here. Okay, school. I started as a young man, preschool, talking, shooting the shit with my mom. And then one day she dropped me off at a place I didn't recognize. And I started crying and was upset because I didn't have my mama. And then went through preschool. I never had any anxiety going through elementary school until I had to do beginnergarten, which is more or less like they hold you back because they don't. Yeah, they don't think that you're developed. If you laugh, you're an asshole. Just saying. Just kidding.
I know you expected me to laugh. I didn't laugh.
People are going to laugh.
I didn't laugh.
If you laugh, you're an asshole. So I had to do that. I had to go to public school, which at the time, being in a Lutheran school, was just unheard of. Public school students? What? They're going to be dangerous and blah, blah, but they were just fucking kids. So they were, they were just regular kids.
Oh, yeah. the wording.
The syntax, as John says, yeah.
So, crazy. So going into it, I remember having to go to this school, brand new school. I was scared, a little nervous. So I don't know. I always feel bad because it seems like my past has very high highs and very low lows. Like I got physically abused at the school that I was at by a teacher and she didn't beat the shit out of me. She slapped me in the back of the head, not just a tap. No, literally did it because I brought a whale toy that I wanted to bring in for show and tell, but it wasn't that, it was farm animals. So she called me dumb and then slapped me in the back of the head. Mind you, I never told my mom about any of this. And then after that point, she had always said that, yeah, you never really like would get upset. You would just kind of hold it in. And that started from like a really young age. And I'm like, yeah, well, this is what happened. That fucking crazy old ass bitch that's probably in the ground right now. Fuck you. I don't even remember her name. Fuck that bitch. It's why do I always have to go for like my shit goes fucking dark. But anywho, after that, everything was sunshine and rainbows. I got back into the swing of things. I was learning. I was shaking and doing running my mile at 10 minutes. Yes, that is not a good time, but I was not.
As a kid, though. As a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
it's bad. What are you talking about? Everyone else was like running eight. But like some
as
of these
a
kids
kid?
Were running
like elementary?
9 minute. Eight, yeah, there were a couple of them.
Holy shit.
Yeah, these kids were insane. It had to have been somewhere around like anywhere from 9 to 10, but I was always like the last one. I wasn't physically active, but at the same time, I didn't care because people were afraid of me and fear works. I'm just kidding. It doesn't work. No, man.
No, you, when you mentioned that,
I can never
Annie,
tell with you.
Annie you have... said that I'm not funny. And now it's been
affecting me. No, I don't know. It's not that you're not funny. I find
everything,
you funny.
Everything I say is supposed to be funny. It's even the pain that I felt as a child, it's still hilarious.
It's not that. It's just the cue for me. It's the cue for me because you told me this blood in, blood out shit. And I don't know if it's true or if I should, like, I don't want to be laughing at some serious shit. Yeah,
I want to bring my brother on this because he'll be like, yeah. Yeah, we did it. It's fucking
well, I'm not saying you didn't do it, but I don't want to laugh at some serious shit, so I don't know when.
Oh, man, everything in life should be laughed at. Okay, so going into school and whatnot, I did have, like, a group of friends, but it was almost like, I'm going to paint myself to be a serial killer here. I had, like, one good friend.
Yeah.
The rest of the people, like, I was just void of, not emotion, but, like, if you weren't my brother, like, if you did one thing wrong, I don't trust you. And that's probably some things that happened in my past or whatnot, but it's like you do that, I don't trust you. I would get into fights, I would do shit, but I wouldn't get caught. I knew how not to get caught, and so once I did that, I also appeased to teachers and whatnot, like be very helpful and whatnot, so then I could get away with shit, which then in turn kind of makes me a serial killer sociopath, just a little bit, because I would play off of I don't know if we should laugh at this because I would play off of some of teachers' emotions and be like, oh, are you okay, Miss Burback? You seem upset. Is everything okay? Yes, Aaron, everything's okay. Is there anything I could do? You want me to get you some like a little glass of water from outside? I would really appreciate that, Aaron. And then I would go out there and then as I'm walking away, would see a kid that I probably had an issue with or whatnot, be like, fuck you. And then he would go tell a teacher and they would be like, that's not like, fuck yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it would be like, I would be this sweet little boy and then my voice would change and be like, you motherfuckers. Really deep and gritty.
Did you get in a lot of fights when you were a kid? In school,
I did it like it was smart where we would, if there was an issue, we would go into the bathroom and we would just kind of, you know, people would surround us and one person walks away. Someone gives up, then you stop. But it wasn't that often. And then, you know, going in, see, back to school for me was never an issue. Like, I would like to go back because a lot of the time I didn't get to see my friends. I got to see my one best friend who I'd stayed friends with into high school, but then we went to separate schools and we still stay in touch, but we don't have a lot to talk about anymore because he's a priest and I'm not. And
well, that doesn't mean y'all can't talk.
Yeah, it's not that kind of, like, it's
well, has very, he become one very, of those hard-ass priests? Like,
yeah, a little bit. He's a very good dude. Very sweet, has always been really kind to my mom, always makes sure that she's doing okay. And I love that about him. But I don't want to be preached to and told that, like, well, if you don't do this, you know, you're going to go to hell.
No, that ain't how that worked, man. At least he shouldn't be doing that. Like, if he's your friend, he's your friend first.
My whole I have anxiety just walking out the fucking door. Like,
you go out the door? I mean, unless I.
Yeah, you see this? Hey, also, real quick, YouTubers, people listening on YouTube, or people just listening in general, go on YouTube and please subscribe. I want to shave my fucking beard. I look ridiculous right now.
Look like Ted Kaczynski.
Yeah, I do. So it's not helping the whole fact that I just brought up that I'm probably a serial killer. It's fucking ridiculous. So if you guys
joke landed, like, how many of our people listen to this? Do they know, like, that might have been too far back, the Unabomber. I don't know.
The Unabomber?
Oh, from I'm Michigan, sure I think.
Ohio, I thought.
Yeah, it's Ohio. Oh, all serial killers come from Ohio.
No, they kind of come from here, too. They have roots here, too.
Yeah, for some reason, it always comes back to Michigan. Fuck!
It does. That's a whole nother subject for a whole nother day, but I can't wait. Yep. I look forward to you and John explaining what the fuck you guys call it? The weird shit.
Just aliens in general. We could say grays, short gray, you know, like the tall grays, short grays, the Venusians, the mantis people, the reptilians, or draconians, as if we're. Yeah, there's a bunch of. There's also like Vikings and stuff too, and all that stuff. But yeah, hopefully John and I can get into that and really release our brains.
Yes.
When you guys talk about this, sometimes I think you guys are just testing to see if I'm listening or not, because it's like, it is no fun. What are you guys talking about? This is made up shit.
You haven't watched Ancient Aliens?
I watched the first episode. It was like 2 hours long. I liked it, but I needed to be like Unsolved Mysteries. I needed to be like Forensic Files. It was like 30 minutes.
Let's go. It gets in more detail.
Yes, it
watch
does.
Watch Hellier, dude. Watch Hellier. I'm
the
telling you.
Hellier.
I told you last time, watch Hellier. It explains the whole Pan thing. John, you should do the same. It literally explains the whole, like,
Peter
creation
Pan?
Of care moment, like, all these sigils and whatnot, because it's dealing with actual magic. I'm doing this as I'm holding a knife and pointing and going like...
And I like how the knife just came out of nowhere. Like,
yeah,
we're,
it did. I've been
the fuck did that come
hand.
From?
Holy shit. I'm a fucking serial killer.
Well, I know your victims are waiting. I mean, your guests are waiting for you. Did you wrap it up? Did I wrap it up? I don't know.
I didn't wrap it up. I got two to show for it.
Good night.
Hey, everyone. It's Aaron from After School Special Podcast. Like what you hear so far? But don't forget to subscribe and download the show on whatever platform you get your podcast. And just a friendly reminder, we have new episodes out every Friday. Thanks for listening, everyone.
But they were just fucking kids. So they were just regular kids.